Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. And I think, did you write that Jose Altuve saved the season? Yeah, I think that's pretty appropriate. Jose Altuve saved the Astros season last night with a grand slam after a screw-up by the pitcher. A sack bunt that led to bases loaded, and Jose Altuve coming through again, his second grand slam. The last one won it, you'll remember. This one won this game. After three homers in the game, Yordan, and then Altuve, and then Uncle Mike was just... Uncle Mike going back. They still love Uncle Mike there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. Probably like our George Springer kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Yeah. Why would you not? The guy's a hitter.
Yeah. No. He's...
But, sorry, I had to put a home run on you. Astros got the home run bats going again yesterday. That was nice to see.
Yeah.
The Altuve slam made it feel right again. And then Fromber after a bad start.
And that
start.
Was a pretty good pitch, too, by the way. It wasn't a bad pitch.
Oh, no, no. That Altuve hit.
Altuve's got to go down to get it.
No, Altuve golfed a good pitch out of the yard, hit the grand slam. And then, Fromber got off to a slow start. It was... This has been something that's been strange over the last two or three starts for the Astros. They have struggled with walks. Now, C.B. Buckner really squeezed Garcia badly. He squeezed both pitchers the other night. But Fromber's usually – this to see Fromber with five walks in a game is highly unusual. But he actually hung in and did a nice job after giving up two runs early in the game. He locked it down and had a nice long performance for you. You got to see a new reliever yesterday come up from Sugar Land who loaded the bases. Now all of a sudden Presley's got to jump up real fast and get ready because before you know it, it could have been 7-6. We could have had double grand slams in the game, but instead you got to fly out to end the inning. And that was Solomon. That was a little
in the last two games you've had Hartman and Solomon. But Solomon, this is his third time up. He's trying. He's giving.
Comes up and goes right back down.
Well, then no. Belak, beat it. Hey, Stanek, beat it.
I don't love a one inning performance with the bases loaded. That's not my jam.
No, that's not the best thing.
No, that's not. By the way, Solomon, your performance wasn't good enough either.
Young
and not good.
Give him
apparently.
Some time.
His stuff wasn't that good.
But he
flat 94 mile an hour fastballs now are just dog food. I mean, if you're not throwing 97 plus, you don't have a fastball anymore. Unless you're a really good pitcher and you know that's a sneaky fast 94 because he does work off that curveball. But it was interesting to watch him work after watching Fromber. It looked a lot different, but. Astros got it done. 7-2 was the final on that one. It did get a little nerve wracking there in the eighth, but they got out of it with the base. They kept the bases full.
And Presley's looking good too. And by the way, I mean, is there what is with baseball? How are there? Depending on the fans to decide this thing. And the Astros, you know what? I don't think that Jose Altuve or Yuli or and Brantley's even getting blamed now for this. How is Teoscar Hernandez starting in the All-Star game and Michael Brantley's not?
Well, you wanted an Astro connection. They gave you one.
Yeah, he a former Astro. So, congratulations. This whole thing just sucks. The Astros are, you look at the guys, of course, Trout won't be there. Trout's a starter, but they got to put Cedric Mullins in there because he's a center fielder. He's probably going to have to play. And, well, Teoscar can play center, too. So maybe they'll put – maybe Uncle Mike gets the start instead of Cedric Mullins. But it's just ridiculous. The Astros and the bias against them, it's just stupid. Oh, well.
Well, look at the entire not lineup, but the guys they announced. There's like three guys on good teams.
Salvador Perez is the catcher. They suck. Vlad – is on the Blue Jays.
I mean, playoff teams. I looked at it. I was like,
oh, well, yeah.
Huh, There's only like the two Red Sox and Posey, I believe, are the only guys announced as starters who are actually on teams who would make the playoffs if the playoffs ended today.
If it ended today. Arenado is going to start from the Cardinals, Bogarts and Tatis. Oh, Tatis is...
Well, it's the Dodgers and the...
they make the playoffs.
The Dodgers... No, but it's the Dodgers and the Giants right now, the top two.
But there's two wild cards.
They're doing that... Okay.
Two wild cards. So, the Padres are the other wild card. The Angels suck. The Yankees suck. Blue Jays. The Braves have been very disappointing this year. You got two Reds starting in the outfield. How the hell has that happened? And Shohei should start. He's as the designated.
Yeah, but we've seen Reds had a whole, I remember way back in the 80s, the Reds had like an entire team almost. When you get ballot stuffing, you get ballot stuffing. That's just what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Astros, nobody's going to vote for the Astros outside of Houston.
No.
But they still represented pretty well from a voting standpoint. All the Astros fans are out there doing it.
Jose Altuve got 32% of the vote. Marcus Semien got 54%. Like, everybody just is in love with Marcus Semien. Okay, good. Carlos Correa only got 21% of the vote. Well, but he should be the starter. Bo Bichette got 37%. And Michael Brantley only got 10% of the vote. Trout got 19% of the vote. He hasn't played in like 6 years. It's just amazing. And Yordan Alvarez only got 17%, but Shohei Ohtani should be the starter. There's no question about that. He should be the designated hitter. So your Astros, none of them are going to start, but you're going to have guys that will be in the game, and rightfully so. This team is just too damn good. At least they got back on the right track yesterday, which is a nice thing. Listen, you just can't beat a Detroit or a Baltimore, but you know what?
Once you get on the road against Cleveland, you find your power.
Yeah.
And you're pitching. You're pitching and your power comes back. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't care how it happens.
It happened.
It's not like the Astros had a lot of hits last night either. Neither
just
Tim
timely.
Did.
At least they were timely.
Yeah, timely.
Right.
You maximized it with the slam.
Yeah. And boy, early on, it didn't look like Fromber was going to get through three innings.
Yeah,
he was struggling early on. He couldn't find the strike zone. That's so un-Fromber of late. But then he had like 40-some pitches in the second inning, and he's able to get through seven.
Yeah, and then he locked in and was magic after that.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely rolling. So, and that was something that, and you know, that's why I think he's one of the best pitchers in baseball, because back in the day, that would have derailed him. Like, he did not have the mentality to get past something like that. Little, even smaller things than that would have just derailed his confidence. He couldn't have struggled to find the zone and put runners on base and survived. He would have got knocked out of the game, and that would have been that before pandemic Fromber showed up. Pandemic Fromber has been unbelievable, and pandemic Fromber is now mentally tough. And we didn't see that, you know, and he talks about sports psychologists. He went to a sports psychologist. Well, that's obviously been a big deal for him. And that's why I always wonder, you know, hearing stories about guys like Ben Simmons, who his brother is a shooting coach. Great. I mean, you know what that tells me? He's not working.
Mm.
If you're, no offense to your brother, maybe he's a really good shooting coach, but I'm just going off of what the Clippers have already said. What Doc said, Rivers, that he's got to really put his time into it. And, you know, it's like Jadeveon Clowney, this has extraordinary natural talent, hasn't, at least for a chunk of his career, didn't put the time in to really become a more skilled player. When you're so much better athletically than everyone else and you don't develop your skill, eventually it catches up with you. I don't care if you're Ben Simmons, Clowney, or whoever you're going to be. And you have to better yourself either from a skill standpoint or a mental standpoint. And for Fromber, you know, he had a mental issue. And obviously with a sports psychologist, and he, whoever it was, got him right. Because, man, he has been terrific since he's come back in 2020. Since we've seen him in 2020, Fromber's been unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. No, he. Everybody should use Fromber psychologist. And everybody.
For clarification, Fromber was challenged mentally and got it fixed.
No. Carmelo was challenged mentally. Yeah, that's what he said. It's a challenge mentally. Mm-hmm. And so he's mentally challenged.
No.
That's what he said.
That's not.
If you're challenged mentally, are you mentally challenged? Yes.
I think you know words matter. You do this for a living. And the order of those words matter quite a bit. Carmelo was challenged mentally because he had never come off the bench. You know what he meant. And then you have decided to flip those words to make it sound like
I only used the words
else.
He used.
No, you flipped the words he used.
Doesn't matter. I used the same words he used. And you'd see. Fromber never said I was mentally challenged.
Let me ask you something, Lance. You have to write things for people to read, and they become things that
editors would change permanent. Editors would change his wording. If he wrote down what he said, Dan Parr, my editor, would have to go in and like
you talk redline about players,
a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
You talk about players, you go, there was a challenge mentally for this player to overcome this, and that is something that might fly. That could be something that stays in evaluation. If you said the player was mentally challenged.
Yeah, it's like diagramming sentences.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I just, I paraphrased, but I did not, I was not inaccurate.
He said you were.
I was challenged mentally.
The person is challenged mentally.
Which is mentally challenged.
No. When you have
Carmelo's
a
mentally challenged, that's it.
What kind of challenge is it? It's a mental challenge, not a physical challenge.
Right.
So it's about the challenge. You are talking about the person being mentally challenged.
Yes,
you
are basically if you're someone who is to get challenged fired mentally, again. Then you, Carmelo, are mentally challenged.
You win. That's fine.
That's all I'm saying.
You brought it up. You wanted to kill off this segment. Well done.
It's better than
you had mentally challenging radio for 3 minutes now. Look what you did.
I'm challenged mentally by this show all the time.
Look what you did.
See? Now you too. You and Carmelo are mentally challenged.
Here it is. Congratulations.
It's 712 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here and if you like a little charisma, Lance, what are you going to do?
Charisma Car Wash. So this is great news. I thought I was going to have to give you guys the bad news. But they told our rep that they've had like 145 or 150 people going to get the car washes using our promo code, which is great. It means you're telling people about this. The promo code is 5975, and when you use this, you get $10 off of either your Ultimate Wash or your Lava Wash. That's a car wash that's their high-end car washes. $14 turns into $4, and $17 turns into $7. They're actually going to extend this deal into July as well. I don't know if they're going to go beyond that. They have a always low price of $6 for their standard wash, which is actually an elevated wash, and it's fantastic, really, really powerful, and really gets the job done. But right now, take advantage of this deal, because I don't know how long it's going to last, but I can tell you it's available to anyone who uses the promo code 5975. There's three locations in the Houston area. There's one on the Heights. There's one off of Kirby near Bissonnette. And the other one's near Gulf Gate. So make sure that you go to the website if you want to find out more about the business or if you want to find out about the locations. It's Carisma, CARISMAWASH.com, CharismaWASH.com. Get in and use promo code, and you can spread this around if you want, 5975.
Do you ever wonder what ESPN 97.5 hosts talk about during the breaks? Well, now we have your f***ing answer.
I don't know why you got to do it with the FM. All you got to do is say earmuffs.
Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975 for exclusive uncensored content.
Can you earmuff it for me?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 717 ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Last night, how many times is this going to happen now? How many times is this going to happen? When Kawhi goes down, Paul George steps up, beats the Utah Jazz, unbelievably. Everybody steps up, and they go on and advance in the playoffs. when Chris Paul was down the first two games, the Suns looked great, and they won the first
two
games.
Step up. People step up.
People step up. When Trae Young went down, the Hawks destroyed the Bucks. When they were supposed to, even with Giannis in there in the first half, they were kicking their ass without Trae Young. And they were supposed to, last night, Giannis gone. Of course, Trae Young was out as well. But Giannis down, Brooke Lopez goes for 33. It's happening time and time again. It's a bookie's dream.
Yeah.
Because when the star goes down, you think, they're going to get their ass kicked now.
Happens all the time. I mean, it happens with good teams. With good teams, it happens. Didn't happen when the Texans lost Deshaun Watson. But with good teams, it does happen.
I mean,
quarterbacks are a little different situation. But in basketball, I've seen this happen to basketball forever. Literally forever. And when I used to handicap, it was the easiest trick to get suckered into is you fade the team that has the injury, and that team actually ends up game planning differently. They're more ready.
Focused.
People step up. People who have taken subservient roles step into a role that may feel more natural for them. And the line maker sometimes will over-adjust. And so I think it's going to be you're not going to like – I want to bring that topic up in a second. But I think it's going to be when you look at in the long term, it's harder in the long term. But in the short term, watching what the Clippers have done has been terrific. Could they have used Kawhi Leonard? Absolutely. They could have used Kawhi Leonard without question. But I think Paul George stepped up, and, you know, different people stepped up at different times. I'm not sure that would have been any different. I think the Clippers would have lost the Suns even with Kawhi personally. I don't think it was going to be different. I think the Suns, it was their time. Because more Kawhi would have meant less Paul George. And Paul George had his moments. It would have meant even less, you know, Marcus Morris. It would have meant less of other guys who stepped up at different times. With Giannis, I just don't see a way that the Bucks can win a championship without Giannis. But, man, to say that they stepped up. And I think the home court is a really big deal for them. I mean, that home court is going to really be big. And that's why I think they're going to win that series. I personally think that you're going to see Trae Young come back. You'll see Giannis out. And I think the Hawks get them in game 6, and they take it to a game 7. That's what I'm expecting to see. And then it will be interesting to see if Giannis can come back.
Are you locking that up?
I think I'll lock that one up yet.
Okay.
I want to see how, because Trae Young has to play. But even without Trae Young, I think Atlanta wins at home if Giannis isn't there.
And once again, Chris Middleton is 10 for 20, and he actually scores 20-some points. And guess what? They won the game. It's unbelievable how he is the X factor. If he plays, it doesn't matter. Giannis is going to have his 33 and 14 or 17 or whatever it is. But if Chris Middleton is having a bad game, they can't win. Now, he had a decent game yesterday along with Brooke Lopez's big game, 33 points. He took over right where Giannis was. He put up 33, which is what Giannis does every game.
Yeah.
So Brooke Lopez did that. But the difference is that Middleton showed up.
Yeah.
Again.
He has to,
and it seems like it's every other game.
Chris is the key, and... But Brooke Lopez showing up really was a key, too. Like, this time it was, okay, Middleton had to play the role of Giannis, which had to be the standard bearer for production. So who was going to step up and be Middleton? Brooke Lopez. And who knew Brooke was going to get off like that?
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty incredible, but that's what you need. Who knew Marcus Morris was going to hit 22 the other night? Who knew that Jay Crowder was going to step up in the game that they sealed? And who knew Chris Paul was going to have 31 in the second half? Although Chris is one of the star players, so you talk less about that one. But Jay Crowder having the huge first half. I mean, that's how you win championships. Mario Elie with a big performance out of nowhere. Like, that's how championships get won. Van Vliet knocking home about 43 pointers in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Those moments like that are what really are the defining moments. When the Rockets won their second championship, where they had to go on the road and beat all these 60-win teams, and it was this incredible run. You know, we talk about Dream and what Dream was able to do against David Robinson, but really it was about Robert Horry hitting a big shot and Mario Elie's kiss of death, and it was about so many more people stepping up and having the big plays, and I think that's what Brooke Lopez allowed Milwaukee to do yesterday. And now Atlanta, who has had I'm trying to think of who can step up. I mean, Lou Williams didn't step up for a win yesterday. Lou Williams is not a guy you can win with over Trae Young. Like, no Trae Young, no Giannis, I like Milwaukee. I like Milwaukee in that series. If both those guys are out, obviously. But this is truly staggering. Just thinking about this, Kawhi gone the whole series. Giannis now missing time. Trae Young's already missed two games. You had Chris Paul missed the first two games. Kind of forget about that, but Chris Paul missed the first two games, even though they won. I mean, these are – Chris isn't the best player on his team. I guess we'll go Devin Booker. But Chris is an incredibly impactful player. But Kawhi Leonard's the best player. Giannis is the best player. Trae is the best player. Those are – you know, James Harden was the second best player on that team. Kawhi – I mean, Kyrie Irving was a very close 2B on that team. This is just – this is just mind-numbing about the bad luck. And I know people want to find easy answers, but the fact is sometimes you just have runs where a lot of these injuries have more to do with just bad luck and things that have, you know, hyperextending your knee is not because of a schedule. You don't step on a ref's foot because of a schedule. Chris Paul doesn't get banged on what was it? It wasn't a screen. Yeah, it was a screen. Wasn't his first shoulder injury.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen because of a schedule. You just had a series of unfortunate events. They just went lemony snickets on it with a series of unfortunate events against the very best players. And now we're left with
Giannis Eastern coming Conference. Down the way awkwardly on his knee like that.
And frankly, the Eastern Conference now is not very exciting to me.
No.
Having to watch basketball with Trae Young out and Giannis out, that's not – I mean, that doesn't bring any joy to me.
Well, hopefully Giannis will be back, and we'll have a good
And hopefully
good
Trae, too.
I mean, we're only two games left in this series, so maybe just one game left in this series. I'm talking about one. Yeah, but Trae Young or Giannis allegedly should be back for the post for the finals. So especially if there's a little bit of time here that you get, if it does go seven games, it gives Giannis a little bit more time and Trae Young a little bit more time to get back. I don't want to see Atlanta in the finals, though. I just don't. I don't know. I just don't. It's Atlanta. Who likes Atlanta? Nobody likes Atlanta. The Atlanta Hawks, really? I mean, the St. Louis Hawks. Now, that was a team. They used to...
You have some affinity for the Milwaukee Bucks?
Do you remember Lou Alcindor back in the day?
No, I wasn't
Milwaukee
alive.
This Milwaukee Bucks, what are you... you're stuck with this Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, this Milwaukee Bucks team is pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
And if they get beat by the Hawks, then the Hawks are better than them.
Yeah, Milwaukee feels like kind of tricked sometimes. Like Chris Middleton would just go 6 of 24 at any point. You don't know if he's playing well. They're really really hard to beat because you know Giannis. But that's when Giannis is giving you his 33 and 12, his standard 33-12.
Yeah.
That's not there anymore. So I don't know.
Well, then Brook Lopez just gave you 33 and 12.
Yeah, but who do you want to see?
I mean, I want to
see. I guess the Bucks. I guess.
Yeah. No, and with Giannis coming back, I want to see the Bucks. Yes. That'll be a good series.
You're not going to get Giannis back to normal Giannis, I don't think, in the rest of the playoffs.
We'll see.
That was so bad.
There's no structural damage. Why are you wishing bad things on Giannis?
I'm not wishing bad things. I'm just telling you an actual fact. Mm. You're not going to have that bad a hyperextension and get it back to 100% within 8 days,
yeah.
6 days. That's just not going
to
happen.
I was listening to something and someone brought this up. What does a hyperextension mean as far as what actually happened to us?
They get stretched your ligament,
but we don't know the extent. They just, it's a hyperextension. How bad is it? The whole Giannis will be back. I don't know that.
I don't either.
Yeah. Who knows if he'll be able to play?
We don't know. But at least there was no tear, and we know that.
Well, we know a tear means he'll be okay next season. But yeah. He could be. I mean, we saw Kyrie never return from an ankle.
Yeah, but he's soft. He had some Zoom meetings or something. Somebody maybe in some other country raided their capital, and he couldn't play anymore.
Mike Conley didn't return from something that wasn't season ending. So I don't know. We'll see with Giannis and what he is, but I think
like you said, Del, that really has more to do with 2021.
Yeah. As far as can he be effective or can come back, you know, in the next week or so if they advance, we'll see. I don't think that's clearly on the table for him.
No. We'll see.
But they're gonna keep it quiet.
It sure would be nice though.
But they're gonna keep it quiet the same way the Clippers did. Even if they know Giannis is out for the rest of the playoffs, you don't say that. I mean, if you don't have to, you keep teams guessing, like, is this the game Giannis comes back? Is this the game Giannis comes back? We had heard that Kawhi may have an ACL tear, and the entire time, it's, Kawhi's been ruled out for this game. Well, apparently you aren't going to tell us he has an ACL tear, or you'd say he's ruled out for the playoffs. They just didn't want to do that. They'd rather just keep you guessing and maybe having to prepare as though Kawhi Leonard was going to play. And this time, this is what it says. Recovery from a high, and this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Recovery from a hyperextended knee is typically 10 to 14 days. 14 days is a long time. And that doesn't even take into account not having your wind, your fitness level. So if we're talking 14 days, it happened 3 days ago, that would put it well into the finals, the NBA finals. So we'll see what happens on that. Even 10 is going to be, you know, would take you into probably at least the first two games of the NBA finals.
Well, we're already, what, 4 days? It's already been four? It's on
three from when it happened. Remember, we're every other game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is day three. This is day four,
So, we'll see. Whatever. The Suns are going to win the championship anyway. No matter, even if Giannis is back, I think the Suns are going to win it. Why is Chris Paul, who gave Chris Paul the motivation? What really, really rich guy, really, really rich guy gave Chris Paul the motivation to kick ass? We'll talk about it on the other side right here. On ESPN,
it could be 97.5. It actually could be one of two. So
it could be a couple. Yeah. Well, there's a couple.
And also, when we come back, I've got an umpire scorecard for you from CB Buckner's game against the Astros.
Oh my gosh!
Wow! It looks like snacks.
I'll bet it's an A+.
It should just say snacks on it because it looks very similar.
Let's take one here. I want to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf, GiveMeTheVin.com. He's busy. Dell, he's busy. Well, here's the deal. This John Clay Wolf is buying cars all over the country. He is unbelievable. He's built one of the biggest. I think he said CarMax is still bigger, but I don't know if it's by much. But CarMax is also a huge corporation. John Clay Wolf is the biggest privately owned, not traded, car buyer in the country. The biggest. And he just keeps adding cities, going on radio. His plan is this, good, just go on the radio. It's unbelievable how he has done it, but maybe not. He just says, you know what? Just get out there, advertise as much as you possibly can, and guess what? Good things are going to happen. And then what he does is he gives you the most for your car. And he says, if I can't beat CarMax, I'll send you $100. You know what he doesn't do? That. He doesn't send anybody $100 because he beats CarMax every time. You're looking for the most for your car? There's only one place to go. It's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 732 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. According to ESPN's Tim McMahon, on the Chris Paul trade, Russell Westbrook trade, Tillman Fertitta said this. Tim McMahon said this. That trade was made because Tillman Fertitta wanted it made. He thought Chris Paul's contract was the worst he'd ever seen in business or sports.
In business or sports.
In business or sports.
The billion-dollar buyer said that.
He said this was the worst contract. Now, in all fairness, Chris Paul wasn't very good his last year here. He had a 104-year, $159 million deal, getting paid $40 million a year.
We didn't love that contract.
When an aging player who'd never gotten to the finals, NBA finals, and was not on the upswing.
It was not considered a good contract at the time. It's not now. I mean, it was, but yeah, that's what he said. It was the worst he'd ever seen in sports or business. I mean, you could argue that John Wall's contract's even worse now.
Well, now that Chris Paul's in the NBA Finals, you know. I mean, he's.
If John Wall still can't play.
Now Tillman's got that one that he can say.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook's was no great shakes.
Will John Wall make the NBA Finals once he leaves here?
Look, it's been trading a bad contract for a bad contract and then trading that bad contract for a bad contract. There's no way out of it. You can't get out of bad contract. You just take on a different person.
Well, on top of that, though, you've also given up all those draft picks to Oklahoma City.
Maury.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daryl did that.
On top of it.
It's almost like Daryl did that just intentionally to screw
Tillman. Well, and the ironic thing is, Chris Paul, after you made that trade and you gave up all those draft picks because you had to get out of Chris Paul's contract because it was the worst, he was better than Russell Westbrook was.
Well, but we're also going off of one, you know, at the time, you felt like you're making a good assumption that Chris Paul, this was the physical decline.
Yeah.
He was always going to be hurt. He has a history of injury. This is going to be it. This is it. And now you're stuck with three more years at $40 million. Unbelievable. And that's on the heels of his first bad 40-year contract with the Houston Rockets. But part of it was also psych. Part of it was he didn't play well. He had been injured. And then the other part was he and James just weren't really getting along. And
no, that was the major point.
And that was, yeah, so which so who is it? Who is the millionaire or the guy with the mega bucks that you were talking about? Is it James Harden or Tillman Fertitta?
Well, in this instance, it's Tillman Fertitta, but it's very much so with James Harden because James Harden had the few. James Harden couldn't play with him because Chris Paul was too overbearing. James Harden was, and James has got to have his way. James Harden rode Chris Paul out of here. Chris Paul has been all NBA ever since he left here, and now he's going to the NBA Finals. And where's James Harden? So
hamstring.
Yeah, so to placate James Harden. Maury and Tillman, and now in fairness, Tillman thought, so you can't really blame James for this, because Tillman thought that it was the worst contract he'd ever seen.
I wanted out of that contract.
Yeah.
I wanted out of that contract, but the thing is, had they been willing to keep working at it, and had they, one of the reasons was also because you knew those two weren't getting along, but no, I mean, I think everyone was. I think Chris Paul, if you're fair about it, I think Chris Paul showed me up and showed you up and showed most of Houston up when he said, I know you guys thought I was done and physically was on the way down, but I just want you to know, I then took the Oklahoma City Thunder, not a good team, and made him a 5 seed and took you to a 7th game where he didn't play well in it. Lou Dort did, but he didn't. But then he went right to a Phoenix team and takes him to the NBA Finals. I mean, you can't get away. You just can't get away from the legacy of Chris Paul. Wherever he goes, he has a positive impact on the team. It's just that he and James had a personality conflict. And then because of that, I think it exacerbated the contract situation. If they had gotten along fine and they were still good, you could have blown that off as, ugh, this is a scary contract now. We'll see what happens next year. And then Chris would have been healthy and the Rockets would have been really good again. That's what would have happened. If Chris Paul would have stayed with the Rockets and he wouldn't have had those injuries, then the Chris Paul we saw with Oklahoma City all last year, that would have been the Chris Paul again with the Rockets. That team gets in the Western Conference Finals again.
Well,
with James.
Okay, let's say James is gone. I mean, look, he got Oklahoma City to the play. How much
James is gone? I'm talking about with the Rockets.
Let's say James left. Chris Paul was here with this cast of characters.
Oh.
I'm
talking about if they actually got along.
Listen, how great would it be if Christian Wood had Chris Paul as his mentor as opposed to John Wall?
And all those draft picks?
Yeah.
Draft picks?
Yes.
Or young talent? Yeah.
And you wouldn't have to give Oklahoma City all your draft picks.
But that's a hypothetical.
No, it's a hypothetical.
It would have made no sense to keep the bad contract and the guy who's coming off injury in a bad season.
Do you remember that Oklahoma City team, though? That was thought to be the worst team in basketball when Chris Paul went there.
Yeah, I was.
He gets them into the playoffs.
No, right.
So how much better would this team? And wouldn't you love Chris Paul mentoring Christian Wood?
No. I would love all that stuff. I'm just saying it's easy in hindsight for us to say this stuff because there's neither one of us thought that was a good cut. Nobody, to be fair to Tillman, nobody thought that was a bad, bad contract with him coming off injury. And then he and James were getting along. James played at a high level. Chris Paul did not play at a high level. Chris Paul was injured and had many more years to go.
Yeah.
James is coming off another run of near MVPs. I don't want to, the idea of trading James and keeping an oft-injured Chris Paul coming off, that wouldn't have made any sense at the time. In hindsight, yeah, it would have been a stroke of genius in hindsight. Yeah. But that would have been nobody. That would have been considered the worst move ever.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen, but the way that they went about it. But here's the deal, too, is look at you hear Ayton talking about Chris Paul and the work ethic and how he's changed his life. You see Chris Paul making every team that he's with better. And then you see and James Harden. And you know why Russell Westbrook didn't want to be here anymore? Because James is in between. When you got 2 days off, James is heading down to Cabo for a couple of days. Or he's in a strip bar all night long. Or whatever James is doing. What are the odds that you're going to hear from the Nets that maybe James has changed some? He looked like a different kind of guy. He looked like he was all in with the Nets, that they're going to win and all of the, you know, everything else. He looked like a team guy all of a sudden where he hadn't here. But what are the odds that you're going to hear at some point the guys complaining about James Harden and his will to win? That he's all in on winning as opposed to doing James things.
No, but this is going to be really, I think athletes, I think it's getting bigger and bigger. The more money and the more time you have, the more outside forces when your brand and your lifestyle is so important to you. And I get it. You have the money and the access to live an incredible young life. That really draws
you.
Hey,
listen.
It's not everyone that's going to be married. Look, LeBron's had his fun, but he's been married to the game. Chris Paul's married to the game.
Yeah.
James has never been married to the game. He's just a wonderful player. I think that is still, you know, one of the things that Chris Paul said in that lunch where I was, he just said he was shocked when he got into the league. Now, this is when he got into the league. That was a while back. And he said the most shocking thing to him was that how few guys really, really love basketball like he did. Like he just thought that was most players loved it as much as him. And he was telling Jarrett Stidham this. He just said, I was shocked at how few guys actually really loved ball. And that's what drove them, is the desire to be the best they could be. He goes, man, it's shocking. And then I think it was Ted Johnson who was in the room with us, you know, former linebacker at the Patriots. He echoed the sentiment saying, yeah, it's the same in football. You know, it's the same in football, that you don't have as many guys who really, really love it, that's their driving factor. It's just a means to an end.
Yeah.
And that was disappointing to hear for me, to get that confirmed from guys who played. But for Chris to say that, that's why he said, look, there will always be a place in sports for guys who, you know, are willing to sacrifice that stuff for ball. If you're willing to sacrifice some of that stuff for ball, long term, that's your legacy. And there's a lot of people who throw away legacy because they just can't sacrifice that. And having a guy like Chris Paul on a team with young guys like Devin Booker and Ayton, you understand how that could change the trajectory of their – you get the feeling Booker would have done the same thing, but Ayton, his own words, and Monty Williams is also responsible for Ayton's growth too. But to have young guys where their careers can completely change, like – you know, we were all hopeful that would happen for Jadeveon Clowney, that he would be next to J.J. Watt. But J.J. was asked, how much has Jadeveon Clowney, you know, spoken to you and really learned from you? He goes, you know, not that much now, but he knows I'm always here for him. That was in year two, and I'm like, man, how are you not? This guy's one of the most skilled pass rushers and most dominant interior rushers and outside rushers literally of all time. When you look at three defensive MVPs and 220-plus sack years? Like, how are you not taking everything you can from that guy? And Ayton taking that from Chris Paul, you know the change that's going to have on his career trajectory?
His whole career.
It's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, his whole career. No question. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, that C.B. Buckner story. C.B. Buckner. And how wonderful he was umping the game the other night for the Houston Astros. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, we didn't have Angel Hernandez the other night, but you know who stepped up? CB Buckner.
Yeah, no, in a big way.
This was the start where Greinke was on the top step, clapping every strike. Luis Garcia's on the mound, and Stromy gets thrown out in the first inning.
Brent Strom. Thrown out in the first inning of a game in which there was 44 pitches in the first inning for Luis Garcia. He walked three, gave up four runs on two hits. It was problematic. The inning was problematic, the Astros didn't hit. But by the way, there's a Twitter account called Ump Scorecard at Ump Scorecards. I'm sorry, multiple scorecards. Ump Scorecards, and they take the actual data that comes from the game from Statcast on the strike zones, and they do it. This is an amazing job if you want to double check the umpires that are doing well. Because sometimes there's like Hunter Wendelstadt is really good. He had a game the other day where his accuracy was like 96%, and it was really, really good.
Well, listen, it is a big advantage knowing this, knowing who's got a tight zone, knowing who's got a loose zone. Unless you're talking about over, under on runs.
Yes, unless they're inconsistent. They're inconsistent. CB Buckner was inconsistent.
Yeah. CB,
so here's the grades. They have the overall accuracy. The average for the league is 94%. Generally speaking, the umpires are very good.
Yeah.
94%. We'll complain and cry about it, but the numbers say and the data says umps actually are 94% on accuracy. CB Buckner that game, 87%. Off 7%. That is a ton. Overall consistency, the average is 96%. His was 85%. Off 11% from the score. It actually, the runs favored go to plus 0.12 for the Astros. They also, because the Orioles were also getting either squeezed or given loose strike zones. And this is why the inside zone accuracy, actual strikes, you know, strikes being called strikes, was 80%.
That's he missed one out of every five pitches.
One out of every five pitches on a strike that was inside the strike zone, he missed. Outside the zone accuracy, actually, I think it's on the, well, yeah, it's either that or it's actually inside like a certain area of the strike zone. Outside zone accuracy was at 90%, which is also considered very low. To put it in perspective, it's the second worst consistency score out of 1,176 games this year. Only 12 games had a lower accuracy rating. Combine the two, and you have the worst game of the season for an umpire. CB Buckner's total, and they've got his worst pitches. He's got pitches so far out of the strike zone that were called strike, and then he's got all the green that you see here, John, are strike strikes that were called balls. Look how bad that, and the reds are balls that were called strikes. This is an atrocity of a scorecard, an atrocity
well, he's
of a scorecard.
He's been the second worst umpire in.
And CB Buckner is the owner of the worst game of the season.
And Luis Garcia was the beneficiary.
Well, yeah, and you think about it. In the first inning where he got squeezed so bad, like the three worst calls were the Javier strike three is a 3-2 pitch, and it was way off the plate. And he called it a strike, and that ended the inning. And then you had the second worst was top of the first. Zero outs, runners on first and second, 2-0 count, and the ball is called a strike on a 2-0 count for Garcia. But then top of the first, zero out, runner on second, 2-1 count, and the strike is called a ball. So those were the absolute worst calls, but there's so many bad ones that you could have, like, they can't list all of them that were really, really, really terrible. These are the most terrible, and all of them are extraordinarily bad. This pitch right here, John, this red pitch that's way outside, that's Javier's strike that struck out, that he got a 3-2 strikeout looking. I mean, if you're that bad, more than a few times, you should not be umpiring in the. But you definitely can't catch a playoff game. CB Buckner can't catch a playoff game. But you can't be that bad in a game, and in his consistency to be off that bad. So, you know, I know the Astros are in a little bit of a funk with the bats, and they only scored two runs the other day. But that was a game where they really were done before because their bats were silent. Four runs was insurmountable in that first inning.
Yeah.
Insurmountable. And C.B. Buckner played a part in that without question.
Oh, no, he played a huge role in it. I mean, when you're getting the pitching coach thrown out in the first inning and another starter standing on the top of the stairs clapping because you actually called a strike, when you throw 40-some pitches in the first inning, when you give up a couple of runs that maybe you shouldn't have given up, the umpire played probably the biggest role in the game. That and the Astros not hitting at all. That certainly plays into it. But also, getting called out on bad pitches or whatever the case may be. There's no recourse, though. You know what's going to happen? Nothing. Maybe they call CB and they say, hey, dude, you were really, really bad. You know, that was the worst called game out of 1,176 games. That was the absolute worst game. So congratulations.
You're the worst.
You're the worst. You know what's going to happen? Nothing. CB, next time it's his turn to get home plate ump, he umps again.
Probably.
It's the same with Angel Hernandez.
Probably.
There's no recourse. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, probably so. You're probably right.
No. What are they going to do? He needs to be talked to and say, look at this game that you had. This is the worst game in the majors. You were the worst. This year, you got to tighten it up.
What if fans had the ump scorecard? Like, you can go see it at ump scorecards. It's really a good follow if you are interested in keeping up with that. It's the best you're going to find. But what if you had somebody literally take that GIF the GIF and made posters and brought it to the game? I would think that'd be bad. Like, I thought about it and I realized, oh, you're going to just piss off CB Buckner. You're going to get no calls. You'll get no, if you try to embarrass him, because umps are so thin-skinned, that if you try to show up C.B. Buckner, even as a fan, first of all,
the Astros, unfortunately, it was the last game of the series.
The Astros are snatching up anything that they think is remotely negative at all, so you have no chance of sneaking that in unless you go full prison guard sneaking something into place or something.
The team that's given away 2019 American League Championship
hate
trophies?
Us? If you have the word hate on your shirt, you have to take it off and turn it inside out.
Lance, we don't hate.
Hate us?
There's no hate in the world. So
okay. Yeah. Oh, no. There's never been a more loving world than today's
than this
world.
One. Than this one.
Yeah. I'm super excited for my children. I'm
totally like, unified.
Can you imagine the amazing world my kids are going to get to grow up in?
It's a country I've never seen as unified. As this country,
yeah, it's a time to be alive,
and people like you are to blame for it.
But the unification of this country,
yeah, he's talking about a world where his kids and the country he's going to live in. They're going to blame you and your generation for it.
Yeah, but I'll be dead. I don't care. You can blame me.
I'm not talking about you. He might still want to be alive for his kids, and they're going to blame him for it.
Probably not. When you have that many kids, do you lose the will to live?
Well, you got to ask the man who has all those kids. It's not a question we can answer.
Right. Is it a question you can answer?
He has to answer.
No, I know. But if you had all those kids, though?
First, that it feels like an awful decision to begin with. So, no, I wouldn't. But if somehow I got tricked into having all his kids, I'd be one of those dudes. Oh, he left to start a second family. And the second family would be living alone someplace.
That would be your second family?
Yeah, me living alone away from you.
Who's your second family? I'm actually unattached, my second family.
What's your status? Single.
Not even ready to mingle.
My second
married
family.
And single. People think, oh, you're out there trying to look for other women. No.
I got enough of that at home.
Yeah, no. That's not it.
Let's get Ben in here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you say, Ben?
Hey, guys. I know this is early to talk about fantasy football, but my question to you is, since the Texans has, the worst defense, or one of the worst defenses in the NFL, would there be any value with Tyra Taylor, Davis Mills, or Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins in a 12-man, 14-man league? I was just curious because no one ever talks about the Texans fantasy-wise.
Yeah, with good reason. But so your argument, your question is can Texans possibly fit into chase mode junk stats? And Herbert benefited from that last year with the Chargers. They were always, the Chargers were actually had leads at times and were blowing leads. But yeah, you're just talking about the old school, just bad defense, always having to throw and chase. theoretically, yeah. Theoretically, you might have some value there. More value with Brandon Cooks than certainly than with Nico Collins. I don't think Nico Collins has a tremendous amount of value. I don't think Nico Collins is draftable in a regular league. In a keeper league, that's fine. I mean, a dynasty league, that's fine. You could, you know, take a look at him. But I don't get the feeling Tyrod Taylor is going to have as much value. A, I think the Texans defense will probably be a little better this year than last year, just based on some of the free agents they've added. So I don't think they're going to be as bad defensively. And the second thing is, I don't think Tyrod Taylor is going to be a chase quarterback who is going to be throwing up these big passing numbers in the fourth quarters of games. I don't get that sense based on what I've seen. And I'm not sure he's the long-term solution. So I think a quarterback that's more locked in as a starter and a guy who has maybe a little bit more I'm just trying to think of who that could be right now. But, yeah, I'm not sure that Tyrod Taylor is going to be that guy. Maybe Trevor Lawrence would be that guy as a rookie, but, you know, there's just such limited stats for rookies. I can see
Brandon Cooks and possibly Nico Collins are probably the only fantasy players Johnson.
I can't see Randall Cobb. You know, Chris Conley, I don't think Andre Roberts, but you got Chris Conley who has, yeah, Dante has not been a factor for 3 years. Conley is the one that, but it would be one of those feast or famine things where he has two catches. Yeah. He has, you know, five catches for 105 yards. And one of them's a 46-yard touchdown. And then the next two games, he gets a total of three catches. Yeah. Like, you know, do you want that on your team? Do you even want that on your bench when you – I want guys who are going to score. I want guys who are going to – a bad game is going to be 8 points, you know. Not a bad game is going to be three.
And then when they figure out that Philip Lindsay is their best back, then maybe you pick him up. When they figure out that he's getting carried.
You still think that's the case?
Yeah.
I like Philip Lindsay. I worry about Burkhead scooping up all those catches. Because if Burkhead gets the third down – that's a big part of Philip Lindsay's value is that third down stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's got to deal with Mark Ingram, I think, for the full, you know, for the every down carries. Mark runs it tough and hits it up in there. He's just kind of limited. And Philip Lindsay has had just so many injuries. That's the question is, can Philip Lindsay, small backs don't stay on the field.
Again, I don't know that any of the guys, how are you supposed to, how are you supposed to draft a Texans running back? I don't think any of them are picked up until you figure
right
out
now.
who's going to be the man.
I think Tyrod Taylor can get drafted late as a backup, can get drafted late in fantasy football, and you hope he gets you some running stats too. But from Brandon Cooks is your most valuable Texan from that standpoint offensively. Brandon Cooks is he's coming off 1,000-yard season. Granted, it was they're going to throw the ball. Somebody's going to get catches. It's going to be Brandon Cooks. He's going to get yards. How many touchdowns? We'll see. But Brandon Cooks has the most value. David Johnson, I wouldn't trust him at all.
Hell no.
Wouldn't trust David Johnson at all. With that said, I don't know what the rest of the running back situation is going to look like. Nico Collins is a rookie in a brand new offense with a quarterback who's in a brand new offense who may end up giving way to another, you know, to a rookie quarterback at some point. It's not, you want fantasy football players? Look elsewhere because it ain't here.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Brandon Cooks, who I do think has value. Jordan Akins, there's always this promise of Jordan Akins. The potential. Now, maybe Tyrod Taylor actually looks at Jordan Akins. For whatever reason, Deshaun just didn't look his way enough. And I thought Deshaun was at his best when he was working the tight ends into his game. That's when the Texans offense actually had some flow. Maybe Taylor will be different. Maybe Akins will be a factor. But it's not going to be Pharaoh Brown. I don't think it's going to be Kahale Warren. So, yeah. If you're looking for fantasy football, the Texans can pretty much set this one out other than Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
I think.
All right. When we come back, the NIL is underway, and it's basically going to quarterbacks and smoking hot girl athletes. That's that's where all the money's going.
Oh.
And
like life always?
And should this be surprising?
The we'll winners talk about always?
It on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.